And the rest of us, if you take out your message notes, we're going to return to sticking to the task regardless. Sticking to the task regardless. Last week we had a wonderful missionary family spend the day with us, and they want you to know you bless them with your kindnesses, your encouragements. You bless them with the love gifts that came their way. Over $8,000 was given to them in helping them to move from their old assignment to the new one that is coming up at the end of July. They are enormously blessed. If Jimmy said it once, truly he said it three or four times over and over again, of the churches that they come alongside and help them to remain on the field. We, our church family, gave them the greatest gifts thus far in their over 10 years of serving the Lord out there. So thank you, family, for being what you have been for decades now, a loving, sacrificial church. And if you weren't able to be a part of that, maybe the next time we have our own version of the Apostle Peter and his wife and his kids visit us, you can sacrificially be a part of that. During this last week, very busy, busy week, Satan was very much at work in our church family. The beauty is that our church family that were being attacked by him decided that they were going to rely on the Holy Spirit, and they had victories. And that is, thank you very much, Lord, for that. In preparations to go on vacation, it's hard to go with loose ends untied. Annette doesn't put anything in my inbox if she knows it's close for the time for me to go home, because she knows I won't leave until that end has been all tied up. So the Lord's been very busy and helpful in our church family. But during one of my DPE times, he had the prophet Isaiah say something important to all of us, and I thought I would share it with you. Isaiah 12, verse 5. He says this. He said, "Sing to the Lord, for he has done wonderful things." And that's what you were about not so many minutes ago, singing to him about the wonderful things he has done for us. We are truly among the most blessed people on the face of this earth when you think about what he's done in our individual lives and through this church family for his own glory and honor. But sing to the Lord, for he has done wonderful things. The bringing of our musical prayers to him, to make much of him. Do you sing when you're in the car? Do you have Christian music on and lift it up to him, you know, so other people can't hear you, but you're all by yourself doing solos and it's kind of fun. I enjoy doing that. No one can complain, and he said, make a joyful noise, and he created my ability to make a joyful noise. But he goes on here through Isaiah, and he says, make known his praise around the world. And this is something that we have been doing since the day that I had the wonderful call to become an intern pastor here back in 1983. What a joy it was to be received by the little church back then and come and to begin to serve the Lord and those people at that particular time. But make his praise known around the world. And that's what we see taking place in the lives of Paul and Barnabas and their missions core value team. The two apostles and their core value team are standing up for us in the 21st century, from the first century, to encourage us to continue the good work that started with these people in what we know today to be the land of Turkey. So as we look this morning back into our text, I want you to do your level best to open what Jesus calls your spiritual ears, to make your lay your heart bare, so to speak, that the real you, your spirit, will engage with the Holy Spirit and receive the truth that he wants for you as an individual, the truth that he wants for you as a core value team to bring forth in the coming of the rest of the year. What he wants you as a, if you are a Christian family, to be able to do together with your spouse and your children for his glory and honor. There are probably 6 or 7 major truths right here this morning that he's going to lay out as we go through chapter 14, but we're only going to really get through the first 4 verses. Last week, we went through all 20 verses in setting the context. Now we're going to find out, what does he want us to do? How are we to go about doing these things? So on page 3 of your notes, that's where we left off. Just as Paul and Barnabas and their team have been given a vision, a calling. What is it that they were supposed to go and do? We have such a calling ourselves. I'd like you, if you would, to read the vision statement as we did last week aloud. Through the glorious calling and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we will grow in the true knowledge and love of him, showing his salvation to the world. This is your call, family. This is what he placed upon my heart while I was recovering from major injuries from being a police officer. And it was from there that I would be released from my career, and 3 years of seeing doctors and so forth, and then being convinced that he was calling me to seminary, and after that first semester into the ministry. Our mission statement as to how we are going to complete our vision says this: we will fulfill his calling through the diligent study and obedience to his word. Now, if you look into your directory, you will find our vision, mission statements, our core value teams for applying our mission and vision statements. You will also see in there, they all come from Scripture. I didn't list these in your message notes to save time. But we will fulfill his calling through diligent study and obedience. These words are very specific, chosen to the degree that this is not just a wordsmithing project, but this is what you, as a GHCCer, are called to, and your leadership. This is our mission statement. And those words are a paraphrase of chapter 2 of the book of Acts. Read it on your own and see what the Holy Spirit actually, how he phrases it. Vigilant prayer. That's there in Acts chapter 2 as well. Vigilant prayer, family. That's why the DPE, your deep personal experience with the Lord, is so absolutely essential in your life. Not as a GHCCer, but as a son or a daughter of the Most High God. Genuine worship. And this is in, oh gee whiz, Acts chapter 2. Genuine worship. We worship God who is spirit. He is spirit. So we worship him with our spirit and in truth. And loving ministry. Agape ministry to all. And this becomes difficult because this is where Pastor Eugene and myself and occasionally the other two elders have to get involved, because we are dealing with that which was not agape ministry to all. This is what you're called to, family. We are supposed to first love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And our neighbor as ourselves. And Jesus said to each of us, if you've read your Bibles, he has said, I know through me, to the church family on particular Sundays, I want you to love one another exactly as I have loved you. And that's where we get in the trouble. Because leaders, even the regular rank and file, if you will, of the kids and God's family, do not love one another in that fashion. We are to seek each other's best. Not semi-best, but our best and highest good at our own expense. Jesus did that for you. He did that for the likes of me. And this is what we're called to. But the church in America isn't doing it, family. And you know it. You know it. Far too many Christians just act like they're still part of Satan's family. And they need to be brought up short, lovingly, lovingly, and asked to change and be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to see two of our core value teams in our text, chapter 14. They're going to be more prominent than our other core value teams. But I'm going to have us look at them and pull them out. And I ask you now, before we even get to them, that you prayerfully consider, what core value team should you be a part of? You don't have to be just on one. You can be on more than one. Are you on one is the question. And if you're not, the time has come, family, to pray through which core value team you're going to be on. You like GHCC. You like this church family. Good. I like you too. And I want you to be part of this church family. I want you to have some word to say about how we fulfill our vision and mission statement by being on one of these core value teams. The first one we've already been looking at is the biblical teaching and training core value team. The value statement says this: we seek to make disciples. We are told this in Matthew chapter 28. The Lord Jesus says, go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples. We are to make disciples. We are to, all of you, if you're not sitting down in one of our classes that grow in maturity spiritually, it's important that you think about how can you make time to do that? Because if you don't have time, the Lord would say this to you through me. and that is you're doing something he has not asked you to do. He wants you to be growing. You are a disciple. Therefore, he wants you to be learning, to be listening, and then to go do what your teacher has taught you to do. That's a disciple. That's what we all are. We seek to make disciples, equipping them through the truth of God's word. We have come and we have learned and we know in our hearts, if we've been here faithfully most Sundays, we know that the word of God is profitable. It is extremely valuable to each and every one of us. It is so valuable, he says, that because it's God breathed out, it's inspired by him, it's profitable for teaching this morning, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the men and women, the boys and the girls, the young men and women can be more than adequately but completely equipped for every good work that the Lord would lead them into. To become spiritually mature for service within the body of Christ. The behavioral statement, you see, it says this, to accomplish the value statement, we will teach the whole scripture. We're not going to just teach the Old Testament. We're not just going to teach the New Testament. We are going to teach the whole of scripture. We're not going to skip over passages of scripture that are difficult, that really clash with our culture. We're going to teach the whole of Scripture and make no apology for what our Heavenly Father is wanting us to learn and to do. Teach the whole of Scripture in a variety of settings, guiding and encouraging each other toward spiritual maturity. The second core value team that will be prominent, and it's already popped out at all of us as we've been in this wonderful book, and that is the missions core value team. It was so fun for me last week to see what those on the core value team brought forward for us to enjoy this wonderful missionary family. I enjoyed listening to what they had to say to us. I enjoyed listening to your questions. I enjoyed the meal that you put together for all of us. Thank you so very much. Did all of you get Phoebe's cookies? My goodness, they were wonderful for my diabetes. But at any rate, Phoebe... don't ever give those to me again, but sneak them right away, okay? Am I talking out of both sides of my mouth? Yes. Absolutely. The value statement for the mission's core value is we seek to communicate the gospel of Christ in word and deed. That means we're not just going to sit and listen. We're not just going to sit and write it down. We're going to memorize it, meditate on it, and we're going to live it. Remember, guys, when we had Father's Day, we learned from Joshua. We are to be working, meditating on the Word of God day and night. And the church isn't doing that. It's time that we say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me and start being obedient sons and daughters of the Most High God. Our behavioral statement, well, I'll finish the value statement, that we communicate the gospel of Christ in word and deed to our community and to the world. Behavior statement. To accomplish this, we will go into our community and beyond to demonstrate God's love and to communicate his gospel through personal and relevant ministries. Well, how are we doing? Well, we had the missionary family, one of our missionary families with us last Sunday. They are going way, way out into the South Pacific, and they're going to be sharing the gospel after 10 years in East Asia, sharing the gospel of our Lord. We have the Yargers. We have the Futches, who have been sharing the gospel in Thailand. We have the Stukes, who are sharing the gospel in Spain. We have this wonderful couple, the Brooks, in the Philippines, that are sharing the gospel there and have been for over 12 years. They are wonderful people. We have come alongside them in prayer and in finances to send them out, and others besides. I think right off the top of my head, the Kims come to mind. There they are. And they came all the way from South Korea. They became part of our church movement. They have gone to Israel, and they were asked to leave Israel because they were sharing Jesus. And so they went to Germany, and there they set up a ministry to expat Israelis and began sharing the gospel with them. And presently, they're also reaching out to Ukrainian refugees and sharing the gospel with them. This is how we do it. We all can't go out there. We're here and we're sending them our prayers and finances to help them. But not only that, how do we do it here in the community? Well, we just had a breakfast, didn't we? We made some delicious pancakes and sausage. I like the sausage. And we had Eric Bulgarian. He came out and he preached the gospel to that portion of the community that came to join us and to have this breakfast. And we gave them free food that you provided for them. This is some of the ways that we reach out into the community, and we have an opportunity to invite them to come join us here, and while they're there in their seats, to share the gospel with them. We not only have done that, but we have had trunk or treats at Halloween time a few times to invite the community to come in and not to be thinking about witches and goblins, but to give them candy, to sweeten things up and to share the gospel with them. We had a skateboard ministry for the youth to come in from the community and to ride their skateboards on these dangerous things. I was surprised our insurance company said, we'll cover it. But we're reaching out to the youth that way. We've had movies here in the worship center dealing with Christian themes, the gospel being presented. And after the movie was over, the gospel was presented to make sure that it went forth. And then we invited them to have a barbecue with us to sit and eat, and again, to personally get to know some of us and invite them to come and be a part of the church family on a Sunday morning and see what else we do. We've invited the community to come in for trusts and wills seminars. These are important legal documents that people need to have. Otherwise, you're going to pay through the nose the government from their estate when someone passes away. These are just some of the things that we have done to be like Paul and Barnabas and their core value team, going out into the community and inviting them in that they might hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you weren't thanked, those of you in the Joyful Service team and Authentic Love teams, thank you. Thank you so very much. You got up early in the morning. It took time and effort and strength to set everything up. And you just did a wonderful work, and I want you to know our Lord appreciates it. And so does your leadership, and especially this one, your shepherd. So the subtitle that comes after these things that are important for us to know, because Paul and Barnabas had their own, and we have extracted these things from this book about the early evangelists, is that the subtitle is From Penthouse to Outhouse. Some of you have been in churches long enough to know you can be in a penthouse. Everybody thinks wonderful things about you. And before you know it, you're in the outhouse. And people are saying other things about you. Back in the 1970s, most of you will probably be able to remember, there was a Washington Redskins quarterback by the name of Sonny Jurgensen. He was a grizzled guy. You know, he was as tough as an old paratrooper's boot. And I know what those are like because I wore them. He was tough as an old boot on the field and off the field. Would you show that first picture, please? There's Sonny Jurgensen in the 70s. Handsome guy, tough. Would you show the second photograph? That's Sonny Jurgensen today. He's 88 years old. He's 10 years older than me. Hey, Sonny, you still grizzled? Yeah, you look like it. The fact is that he got a lot of criticism. And when asked by the press, did that bother you? He said, not necessarily. And he said, are you sure it doesn't bother? And he says, no, you know, during the football season, sometimes you're going to be in the penthouse, and other times you're going to be in the outhouse. You know, you have these Monday morning quarterbacks who couldn't play football if they wanted to, but they have the privilege of criticizing you. And so he was the one that coined that penthouse to outhouse. And so it is in the ministry, from the penthouse to the outhouse. This is something that's Paul and Barnabas and the core value team entered into as they began this evangelistic outreach that our Lord was sending them on. It's a shame that it applies to ministry, but nonetheless, it comes about. Look at your notes. While in Poseidon, Antioch, Paul and Barnabas preached one Sabbath to enthusiastic reviews and then received an enthusiastic invitation to return and to tell the people more. The next Sabbath, however, the synagogue leaders decided to run them out of town. From penthouse to the outhouse. And the two men led their team down the highway to Iconium and beyond. They were about to discover themselves for the first time, the highs and the lows in ministry. And they're going to find that it's not just common, these highs and lows. It will be the norm. It will be the norm, these highs and lows. Every church has these highs and lows. There is not a single church family that only stays on the high plane. It'd be great, but that requires an awful lot of obedience to the Word of God. In Iconium, large numbers believed, while others gathered stones to kill them all, eventually forcing them to leave. In Lystra, like before, the men would be lifted up to bizarre heights, as we read last week and a claim only to fall fast and very hard. Along with the ups and downs, the results from an audience's acceptance or rejection, Paul and Barnabas and the core value team would also encounter the frustrations that come from making mistakes while learning to cope with a new audience. In Lystra, they would encounter a population with a worldview so foreign to Jewish thought that Paul and Barnabas would themselves be mistaken for gods. Even so, they would discover that through it all, the downs, God was faithful, always in the ups. But sometimes you have to look a little further to see him when you're down. He will fulfill his promises and he will accomplish his plan concerning you, because you're all part of his bigger plan. He is going to finish it no matter what. So if you would look here at verses 1 through 4. Now, at Iconium, they entered together into the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. That just warms my heart up right up. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. We see here Jews against Jews. Both believe in God, but one does not want to receive Jesus as the Messiah. So they remain for a long time, probably through the winter, speaking loudly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace. This can be read over very quickly and not grasped. Family, we are to be living a portion of our lives and hopefully have a divine appointment every day that allows us to speak boldly for our Lord Jesus, to share a portion or the whole of our testimony, how he has radically entered in and changed our lives and what he can do for these other people. Speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, the gospel. We keep being talked to about sharing the gospel. And it makes perfect sense. The American church isn't doing that. Granting signs and wonders, miracles like Jesus. They get to do through their own hands, the power of God the Holy Spirit living in them, as he lives in you and me. But there isn't the requirement for the miracles today. I would love to see, I believe I'm a miracle, that I turn from my wretched ways to Christ. But nonetheless, to be able to say, rise in the name of Jesus and watch somebody who has been crippled from birth walk around. What a wonderful thing. Or to come up to Julia Marinara, who has this awful cancer and her kidneys are failing her, and to simply say, Julia, you love the Lord, I know that, right? Yes, Pastor Ron, yes. Then be healed, Julia. How I would love for her to be able to jump up and to be completely healed. But until then, one of our core value teams, not mentioned here, you can sign up back there if you'd like to bring a meal to this young woman who has quite a history. She worked at our Shell station down the street, making minimum wage. She's had to hike everywhere or take a bus. But not only that, when she was a young woman, her husband was killed. When she was a young woman, her twins died. She's an amazing single woman who lives with her brother and sister-in-law who are not Christians, and they act like it. Let us, who have been her church family, love on her. Verse 4, but the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles, Paul and Barnabas. These signs and wonders that they were able to do, they were a confirmation from our Heavenly Father to the people who were the beneficiaries of the miracle, either if it happened to them or they just got to see it. This was a confirmation of the message that Paul and Barnabas and the core value team had brought to the people. They didn't have the word of God then that is a miracle in itself. We were just then beginning to write out the Old Testament. They only had the new. Well, show that next photograph, please. How do you like Iconium? What a place, huh? See anything there that interests you? Iconium lay about 80 miles from Poseidon, Antioch. Along the Via Sebasti, remember I showed you some pictures of that. There's one more photograph in your message notes. It was an impressive highway, the Via Sebasti, and you'll recall that it linked the Roman colonies from the far west all the way across through Mesopotamia to what is today Iraq at the Euphrates River. That is one long road, and it was built about the 4th century B.C. Iconium, looking at your notes, has been an important city since its foundation. In Paul's day, it was an important Roman military base on the Via Sebasti, controlling settlements on the Anatolian plateau. If you'd show that next photograph. This is a different photograph of the Via Sebasti. That's what it looks like today. But it was built in the 4th century BC. And it was used till through the 1800s, leading up to World War, before World War I. And not bad for something that's that many centuries old. Our freeways fall down every time an earthquake strikes. But those were built mostly by Romans and Roman soldiers, legionnaires. The origin of the city of Iconium isn't really known. It's kind of faded away in the midst of history. Archaeologists and historians argue back and forth as to when it actually came about. I'm talking about the city now, not the road. And the city is thought that it was even before Alexander the Great. His generals didn't know exactly when the city was built. But others say the Hittites, who came before the Greeks, are the ones that built it. But only the Lord really, really knows. You show that next photograph, please. So in the middle of the circle there, this is where we're at. And this is the Anatolian plateau. In the very first century AD, Iconium was an agricultural and trade center. There were four other roads besides the Sebastian Highway that crossed in Iconium. So it made it a very cosmopolitan city at the time, and it was a city that lots and lots of people there. It would have been an ideal place to stay and to share the gospel. And Paul and future teams will return there later on to continue sharing the gospel in this particular city. Unfortunately, most of Paul's Iconium, as I showed you in that picture, no longer exists. It's been cleaned away. If you'd show that next photograph, please. Most of the city was built with mud bricks. This was what's left of one of the houses there when Paul and Barnabas and the team arrived. If you look at your notes, when Paul and Barnabas arrived, they went straight to the synagogue. You'll see a picture there. In your notes, they went straight to the synagogue, eager to share the good news with of the long-awaited Messiah among their countrymen and to proclaim the open arms of God's wonderful grace to the God-fearing Gentiles. God-fearing Gentiles, again, if you don't recall, they weren't Jewish. They were anything but Jewish, Greeks, Romans, etc. But they had an interest in the monotheistic system that Judaism put forward, and that was of great interest to them. So at Antioch, their message was brought immediately to the synagogue. If you show that picture, you're familiar with this one. This is a home synagogue. We don't have any remnants or pictures of a larger synagogue in the area, but there on the first floor, you see those are men seated there, and they hear the reading of the Torah, the law, and up above, straight up above where the three men in front are, that would be an area for the ladies. You ladies could sit in there and listen to the reading of the Torah and be part of the worship service, but separate from your husbands, your boyfriends, and the men. And the house has bedrooms and storage places, as you can see. As in Antioch, their message prompted a large number of people to believe, including God-fearing Gentiles, as I was saying, who attended the synagogue service. And as in Antioch, the Jews who rejected the gospel turned the town against the evangelists. Although the team suffered opposition, suffered resistance, they stuck to the task regardless. They stuck to the task regardless. And that is a prime message for you and for me. We are to stick to the task that our Lord is leading us in regardless. As I was talking with one of my sisters here, there has been this tremendous time of prayer over decades for this person's spouse. And this person spouse has a high intellect, very smart, but this person has not wanted to respond to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But this spouse, the one who believes, is sticking to the task. This is one of them. They are praying, and they are praying, and they are praying for their spouse to come to faith in Christ. And you may know who this person is, you may not, but you know what this person's hopes are. And you can add this spouse that doesn't believe into your prayers that this person will come to faith in Christ. Amen. The same person who's praying for their spouse. Prayed for my son when he was out and following the world. I love this person to pieces because they stuck to the task regarding Ronnie. And Ronnie came to faith. He gave his life to the Lord. And how can that be more wonderful for a parent? Family, you've heard these words. I hope you will write it down in your message notes. You'll write it down somewhere. You will brand it in your mind, and you will be in prayer for this person in our church family who's been our illustration here. So they continued preaching as they had been as they moved from Poseidon, Antioch to Iconium. In Poseidon, Antioch, Luke mentions nothing about the miracles that we see in Iconium. No miracles, most likely, having been performed in in Poseidon, Antioch. The fact is there. Look at your notes. The Holy Spirit gave the men the ability to perform signs and wonders. I wish that this had not ceased, but for this time, it has. As always, miracles serve to validate their message as divine. This strongly suggests that miracles were not always a part of their ministry and were used only when rebellion was not the reason for unbelief. So these miracle workers that you hear about today, be careful. Be careful, because our Lord made it clear that particular wonderful thing that he provided the first evangelists, the first apostles, has ceased. He still saves people. He still heals people. He still does great and awesome things. But they're supernatural, and they're not allowed for men to go out and do. Wouldn't it be wonderful if I had the gift of healing? I'd immediately get in my car, leave all of you, see you after vacation, and go up there to Julia. Julia, be healed. I would do that. I'd go over to Susan's, Jack. Jack, be healed. I would immediately go over there to Holy Cross Hospital and go through every ward. You know, you're healed, you're healed. I would tell Jackie, what's the point of seeing the doctor tomorrow? You're healed.
I love you.
But I can't do that. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Father, I thank you very much for providing through your people here a vision and a mission that you have extracted directly from your living, active, inerrant Word of God for every GHCC-er to participate in. I thank you, Father, for our core value teams. I thank you that I get to participate in the biblical teaching and training team with others. I thank you, Father, for the missions team and the joys they bring to us. I thank you for the authentic love team and the joyful service team that brought us out there into the parking lot for another time to be able to reach out to our community with breakfast and a loving breakfast and food that was given in love to meet the needs of people who needed such things and really need the gospel. I thank you, Father, for our God-glorifying worship team. They are such a marvelous group of folks, and how we look to you to bless them tremendously and to bring more such individuals on this stage to lead us in this beautiful musical time of worshiping you. And Father, I thank you for our faithful prayer intercessors, our prayer core value team. What a blessing they are personally to me, Father. And we pray that you will grow every single one of these teams from people in our church family who have yet to find the core value team, that I trust they will go to prayer themselves and discover which team or teams, plural, they will be a part of to serve you here and for us to fulfill our vision and mission through this church, as we see Paul and Barnabas doing with their core value team, Father. So please, minister through us for your glory. Help us to stick to the task regardless of what the resistance may be. And whatever the task may be, may we stick to it in the power of your wonderful Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, Father. And may today, tomorrow, the 4th of July, may we be open to divine appointments. If people are going to gather together to eat hot dogs, hamburgers, steaks, whatever, may it be an opportunity for these GHCCers, these men, women, young people, to share your gospel at such an event and to be thinking about how we've been set free from the tyranny of England, but we have also been set free, more importantly, from a life of sin, hell, and damnation. Please, Father, please, may we be these people who speak boldly about our Lord, that we speak about his grace, Father, your gospel. May you use us to come against the Iconium of America. May we not be erased. May the church not find its way to be eliminated. May people not look out on the landscape and see not your church, not see buildings and tens of thousands of Americans going to those centers and coming out mature and sharing the good news with those in our country who do not know you. Father, you pointed out to us in this text the Via Sebastis. May we, who are light to the world, who are filled with your glory, Father, go forth on our own Via Sebastis and share the good news. Please, my Lord, may we go out on our Balboa Boulevard. May we go out on our Index Street. May we go out on Gloria Avenue. May we find ourselves on Encino Avenue. May we find ourselves on our Via Sebastis, taking the gospel to people who need to hear. You've told us that we are the light of the world, and we're not to hide our light. We are not to be these secret agent Christians that permeate the American church. I call it that, Lord, as you know, because is it really your church, these secret agent Christians? And you share with us that this word that you've shared with us even this morning from the Psalms, your word is a lamp to our feet, and it should be a light to our path going forward. May we build our houses not out of mud bricks, but as you said, Lord Jesus, in Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man or a wise woman who built his or her house on the rock. A firm foundation, Lord. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house or her house on the sand, and the rains fell and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Please, Father, may GHCC be a wonderful, obedient, loving church family. That you're happy with. For I ask it in the name of him who came into the world to show us how to do it. Jesus. Amen.